Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? Yes, it's personal. Are you a liability or are you an asset to the Kingdom of God? This show comes to you live. I don't call it, it's not really a show, it's a ministry. It's a worldwide ministry platform. And we come forth every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. from the awesome city of Harper Woods, Michigan. Well, on tonight, I'm so excited to have none other than my special guest for the first time on tonight. I think that's her name. I hope I pronounced it right. Cynthia Norwood. She's also a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, while I am also a member. And our awesome anointed pastor is none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway. So I want to give a shout out to Pastor Mark C. Holloway and our church family. Real quick. But we get ready to go into prayer as we always do. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking the listeners, as I always do, please pray with me. We want to continue to pray for those that are homeless. We know that we are in a dangerous cold season right now. So we want to pray for those that are maybe find themselves outdoors in the cold. We want to pray for those that are less fortunate. Of course, we want to continue to pray for the sick and afflicted, and also those that are bereaved all over the land. And then we don't want to forget about the people of Israel and Jerusalem, and also the people of Ukraine. So we want to continue to pray for them as well. We serve an awesome God who's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. So we don't have to send him anywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. So I'm asking you all the listeners, if you would please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children, coming together on one accord on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy of our praise. We come first and foremost asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you have extended to all of us. None of us deserve it, but we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and sufficient grace in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would move by your spirit on tonight. We ask that you would just touch those that are listening in through social media platforms around the world, those that have dialed in by way of telephone, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. We pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight, even through the testimony that's going to be given by my guests on tonight. We ask that you would move by your spirit, have your way. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us, that you get the glory, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we know that you are our healer. So we ask that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted, whether in mind, spirits, or bodies, all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, comfort and strengthen those that are grieving on tonight because of the loss of a loved one. We pray now, Heavenly Father, that you are moved by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen in the name of Jesus our sisters and brothers in Christ over in Jerusalem, in Israel, even in Ukraine, those that are being under attack by provoked wars, a war that they did not cause. We ask that you are moved by your spirit. Let them know that you are still with them, Heavenly Father, even though the enemy is attacking them. We pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength to look to the hills from which comes their help. For all of their help comes from you. Not only their help, but all of our help comes from you. We thank you for being our everything. We thank you for being a faithful promise keeper. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works. And we know that it will never lose its power. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Have your way on tonight. Thank you for your grace and mercy again. We can't thank you enough. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're worthy to be praised, because there is none like you in all the earth. And all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. Heavenly Father, have your way on tonight. This we pray. And, oh God, we thank you for those that are listening in, those that faithfully dialed in to this worldwide platform and listening in through social media platforms, and those that are incarcerated behind prison bars. Bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that's going to give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to us in the form of a question. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us in the form of a question again on tonight, and it says, and it's personal, what are you doing to glorify God outside the walls of the church building? Wow. That's something to really think about and consider. Again, it's personal. What are you doing as a Christian to glorify God outside of the walls of the church building? Please note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or song played on this worldwide platform. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I am so excited to have my sister in Christ. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm sure you will correct me if I didn't. And I hope you do correct me if I'm saying it wrong. Cynthia Norwood, again, she is my guest on tonight. She's a faithful member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, where I am also a member. And also, once again, our pastor is none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway. So, Sister Norwood, I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be my guest on tonight, because you could be doing other things. But I just want to say thank you in advance for coming forth and being able to share God's word with God's people on tonight, even those that may not be saved in Jesus' name that are listening in on tonight. We thank God for you, that you are being a willing vessel to be used by God, even on this worldwide ministry platform on tonight. So if you don't mind, could you please share with us a testimony first before we go forward?
So, Brother Brown, thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your show. for giving me an opportunity to join you on this worldwide platform. So much for the opportunity. My name is Chris Fancy Norwood, but you can call me Sister Chris. And thank you again. Thank you. So just call me Sister Chris. And I do, again, appreciate you just giving me an opportunity to be able to share what God has given to me and the opportunity that I have to serve as a Sunday school teacher at Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church under the leadership of Minister Jane in our Christian Education Department and our Assistant Pastor David Suggs as well. They work really hard with us to make sure that we are studying the Word so that we can rightly divide it and be able to give it to our congregation in a way that everybody can get something from the lesson. And so you asked me to share a testimony, Brother Brown. Am I right?
Yes.
So as we were chatting earlier, and I told you, I was like, I don't think I have a testimony. I'm just saved. I'm not really sure. But I do have a testimony. So a couple of years ago when we were in, not in the height of COVID, but I think it was 2022, I contracted COVID. And as a result of contracting COVID, it affected my vocal cords. And in impacting my vocal cords, it affected the way that I speak. And so I pride myself on the ability, the capacity to speak well. And when I couldn't talk, when I couldn't speak well because my vocal cords would cause me to stutter, stammer, and sometimes it still occurs now, navigating long-haul COVID things. But there was a time where, as a Sunday school teacher, I was afraid to teach because I was afraid my voice would act up when I was in the middle of a lesson. And I, you know, I was admonished by Minister Jane to teach anyway, to teach through it. And my voice has become much stronger. The testimony is that the spirit of fear that was trying to overtake me, that would cause me not to use my voice to teach the Word of God, was just a trick of the enemy. Because had I allowed the fear to overwhelm me to the point where I just stopped teaching, then I would never have gotten to the point where I am now, where, again, like I said, my voice is not 100%, but it is 100% better. I am able to teach the lessons. I have the support. We talk about fellowship and community and how church members are family and we hold each other up. I know that at any moment, if I needed support, it would be there. So the testimony is that we cannot allow fear to stop us from moving forward with what God has called us to do, because the enemy cannot take the gift, but what he can do is attack the vessel that contains the gift. And if he starts by making us afraid enough that we won't be bold enough to try to do what God has already called us to do or anointed us to do, then we're sitting on our gift. And that's how he will win. And so my testimony is that I did not allow fear to prevent me from being able to use my voice. And just like Moses, it's okay if I stutter, if I stammer. God is going to give me what I need to be able to get through every situation and circumstance and every opportunity that I'm able to use my voice to teach brings him glory.
Wow. Now, that is definitely a testimony. And I thank you so much for sharing that testimony. And as I always say, and that's the reason why I always ask my first-time guest to share a testimony, because God said he would share his glory with no one. And just like you sharing that testimony, I'm sure that there may be a lot of people that may be listening in right now that may be in that same position. They may not have suffered with COVID, but they may have a spirit of fear of not doing what God has called them to do or say because of the spirit of fear. So you are a living proof and a living testimony that God can remove that spirit of fear from us, because that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to use that fear so we don't complete our God assignment in the earth, and that way God won't be glorified through us. So just like God removed your spirit of fear, And you are still, and I think you're doing an awesome job. I never would have known that you had a spirit of fear of teaching until you just said it just now over this worldwide platform. I never would have thought that because you are an awesome, anointed woman of God, and you know how to deliver God's word. So we just thank God for using you. So that's why I asked you to share your testimony, because there may be someone listening that may have that same kind of fear on them right now. It may not be regarding teaching, but whatever God has called them to do. And they are looking at people instead of looking at God and knowing that he is the one who has called them to do what he's called them and anointed and appointed them to do for his glory in the earth for such a time as this. So we thank you for sharing that powerful testimony. I'm just grateful for God, what he's doing in your life. And I just thank you for giving me to share a word from the Lord through our Sunday, through the Sunday school lesson. And by the way, listeners, as I always say, I didn't say it earlier, but I do hope you have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along with this awesome woman of God as she gave me to share the Sunday school lesson with us on tonight. You will need your Bibles, your pens, and your paper to follow along. And also, once she concludes with tonight's Sunday school lesson, I will be opening up the phone lines, as I always do, for those that dialed in and want to say something to my guest on tonight, whether they want to thank her for sharing her testimony or give her words of encouragement. We will do that following the lesson on tonight. We get ready to go to our music break. Again, thank you so much, Sister Norwood. We get ready to go to our music break, and following the music break, we will come back and we will yield the mic to Sister Chris Norwood from Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Yes, yes, yes. He is worthy. Who is he? God, Jesus, is worthy to be praised. There is none like him in all the earth. Thank God for being who he is in our lives. And I always say he is my everything. I got to make it personal. I don't know how you feel about God, but he's my everything. Everything I need is found in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. So once again, I pray and hope that you all have your Bibles. Hope you have your pens and paper ready to follow along with Sister Chris Norwood. Again, she is a faithful member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, where our pastor and shepherd is none other than Pastor Mark C. Holloway. Sister Chris, I now yield the mic to you. Praise the Lord, Sister Chris.
If you have your Bible available to you. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry.
I will ask our guests if you have your Bible, our listeners, if you have your Bibles available to you, if you would turn to Ephesians 2, and we're going to start at verse 4, and we're going to read up to verse 12. Now, that's a bit of passage of the scripture, but I want us to be able to get an understanding of the context behind the lesson, and then we're going to move forward with what God has given me to share. And I pray right now that it is a blessing to you. I pray right now that I may decrease so that God can increase. I pray right now, Lord, that you would use me as your mouthpiece, that you would give me what to say, how to say, and when to say it. Go before me, Lord. I pray that nothing happens tonight, but that you be glorified, Father, in the name of Jesus. These things we pray. Amen. Amen. So verse 4, Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm going to go on. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So this lesson, I actually taught this lesson last Sunday, and I had a chance to go back and listen to the lesson. It's a benefit to listen to your Bible study again. It's a benefit to stop and to review scripture over and over again, to study it. Every time you are within the scriptures, God is going to reveal something new to you. And so
that's right.
As I was rereading this, God revealed a couple of things to me, and I'm just so grateful that he did. First, let me start with the title of this lesson text. So the lesson was called The Household of God. And as I was studying, I discovered that household simply meant members of the family. So we're literally talking about the members of the family of God. But in the lesson text here in Ephesians, and if you don't know the history of the book of Ephesians, it was written by Paul, and it was written while Paul was actually imprisoned in Rome. And so he wrote this letter, and in this letter he is providing the people, the Ephesians, to a way to understand how they have to move away from enmity, and we're going to define that word in a minute, and move towards unity, because we are all members of the family of God, and we have to come together. And so as I was studying the lesson, the word enmity kept coming up in the text. And so I didn't know what it meant. So I was like, well, let me stop. Let me look up the word enmity. Because if you're talking about families, you know, generally in most family situations, you can have some enmity, right? Because enmity actually means a state or a feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. And then when I looked up the synonyms so I could get a better understanding of what enmity meant, the words were discord, contention, conflict, bitterness, grudges. I think I can testify, not just from my own family, but I can attest to some other families, that some of these, this enmity exists within our families. And so,
oh, yes.
And so what Paul was saying is that this spirit of enmity had to be cast down because it was dividing the people of God. Now, in the text, they're talking about the Gentiles, who were the unsaved folks, and then they're talking about the Jews, who were God's chosen people. And so you think about, if you want to make it kind of practical, in a family, you know, you got your black sheep and you got the ones who seem to get everything right. And there's this wall of partition between them that is causing them to be at enmity with one another. And in order for God to really move like he needed to move, that partition, the division had to be removed so we could come together. Because we know that when we're united, we can do much more. And so I had to look up the word unity, because enmity, I found out as I was studying, that unity is the exact opposite of enmity, because unity is a state of being united in one mind with others for the sake of accomplishing the will of God in our homes, the church, and our community. And we know that we can't do anything if we're fighting against each other. The Bible tells us to mark those that cause division and to avoid them. And so we know that to be able to come together to reconcile our differences, we have to be able to dwell in peace. And so as I was reading and studying for the lesson, a couple of things came up that really stuck out to me. So I'm going to share them with you, and then I'm going to get out the way so we can move on with the rest of the program. But one of the things that really stuck out to me as I was reading this lesson, we talk about enmity, right? We talk about the discord that was felt between the Gentiles and the Jews. And that's just the unsaved folk and the folk that who were chosen by God. And so what had to happen was, God had to move the partition, that was separating them, right? Because there was a need for us to have a oneness that is not just you go to the same church, not just you're in the same family, but a oneness that we have spiritual unity, where we're able to be to visibly manifest that we are together, not just in words, but actually in deeds as well. And so how do we show up, right? How do we bear witness to the divine mission of Christ that we should dwell together in peace and love and harmony. So there's three, I'm sorry, no, there's actually four words that I want you to write down if you're taking notes. And if not, just hold heed to them. The first word being grace. So when we were reading in the scriptures in Ephesians 2 and 8, it told us that for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of your yourselves, it is the gift of God, right? So grace is the first starting point for Ephesians, because if we don't die to our old condition, the things that we were in our past, if we don't walk away from those things, we'll hold on to them and we'll drag them around with us wherever we go. So we have to be able to let go of the things that were holding us back, the things that made us feel it was okay to be living in sin and doing all the things that we thought we could. But we can't do that on our own. It is this gift of grace from God. And grace literally is undeserved kindness by which salvation is given. And grace isn't just, it's more of a power word. Grace means it's a force behind it, right? And it's also favor given to us. So grace is the first word that I want you to hold on to. The second word I want you to hold on to is love. Because as I was reading the text and I was reading this story about how the Gentiles and the Jews were had enmity with one another, and they were not able to come together, I realized that before you can forgive someone, you have to have a level of love for them. Because truth be told, we can't. If you didn't really have an affection for someone, they can't really hurt you, right? If you don't have an affection for someone, they can do something. You can be like, oh well, it doesn't matter to me, right? But there's a level of love that needed to be had between these people, the Gentiles and the Jews. Just the same as when we have our family interactions or our church member interactions, there has to be a level of love for the people who you're with. So we have to love one another. We have to be able to move in love, right? First knowing that God loved us, right, so much that he gave his only begotten son. And so the same love that he has for us, we have to be able to give that love to other people. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because that means some forgiveness has to take place in our lives. And so we're going to get back to reconciliation. So hold on to that word love for me, right? So we got grace. We have love. The next is obedience. Because when we think about thing that God wants us to do, obey is at the beginning of the task. We must first obey God. It is better to obedience is better than sacrifice, right? So we must learn to obey God. That means doing the thing that we don't want to do. That means calling the person that we might not necessarily want to talk to right now because you've hurt me, you've harmed me. There's a need for some reconciliation, and we haven't gotten there yet. But God is telling me to call you, to tell you that I love you, and to remind him of the grace that's on your life, because in order for me to be able to get right with God, I got to get right with everybody else. And amen. So that's the third word. So we got grace, we got love, we have obedience. And the fourth word is unity, right? And we looked at the definition for unity. We talked about it, and we know that unity simply means for us to, it's a state of being united in one mind with others for the sake of accomplishing the will of God, right? So unity means that we come together. Unity is the direct opposite of enmity. But unity also means something else, and I wasn't aware of this until I was studying some more. The word peace means to be united with. It also means to end hostility. So if we are in unity with our brothers and sisters, that means we're going to be at peace with our brothers and sisters. And so those four, five words, grace, love, obedience, unity, / peace, are literally the foundation, and they summarize what godliness is. To be godly means that you are understanding the grace, that nothing that we could have done, there's nothing that we can do. Our righteousness as filthy rags, there's nothing that we can do that will make us good enough for God to love us. So it is just his grace that we are saved by, that is through faith, that is keeping us. Because I don't know about you, but I am definitely a product of grace. Because it is grace that has kept me all the way through. It is his grace and his mercy that has covered me in situations and circumstances where I know I had no business being in. It is his grace that has kept me moving forward. It is his grace that reminds me of his goodness. And so that grace, right, if you can't do anything else, just sit in gratitude for the grace of God that is allowing you to be able to listen right now to this broadcast, because if not, you will be dead and in your grave. And so I think of how many times God has spared my life, and that's grace. And our pastor, Pastor Holloway, said something. I've heard him say it several times, that God saved my life before he saved my soul, because I was doing stuff that I had no business doing, and I shouldn't be here, but for the grace, right? So
yes,
amen,
Lord.
Right? So that grace is key. Love. Of all of the attributes of God, the greatest attribute that he has is his ability to love. Well, sometimes when I talk to my family and I get ready to hang up, before I go, they may say, I love you, and I say, I love you more. And when I say I love you more, it's not that I love you more than you love me, but I love you more than any circumstance or situation that we're in. I love you more than any offense that may take place. I love you more than anything that is going on in the world that would prevent me from showing you and telling you that I love you. And that's how God loves us. Because if we woke up and he gave us what we deserve for how we behaved, right, for how we moved in life and how we treated people and the things that we've done, if he gave us what we deserve, we would not be here. So God loves us more, right? He loves us more, not more than any other person, but more than anything that we could ever do. Any sin, he forgives us over and over again, and therein lies the grace, right? So it's all interconnected. But in order to really be partakers of this, we have to be obedient. We have to do what the word says. And that's not always that easy. That's why obedience is better than sacrifice, because you know you can sacrifice. I'm going to just give you an example. So if you are ever in a situation where you're consecrating and you're fasting, right, and you are turning down your plate, well, sacrificing a meal is not the same as saying, God has told me to pray 3 times a day, and I'm going to be obedient to what he's told me to say, to do. And every day at these same times, I'm going to fall to my knees and I'm going to pray, because that's me being obedient, because he's trying to talk to me and communicate with me. So that obedience is key. Because you can give up stuff, you can lay things down, you can walk away from, because God will take the taste out of your mouth for some things. But to be obedient to him and his word, that's a different level of communication and connection with the Lord. And then the last piece is the piece of unity. And this is really what this lesson is about. Because in order for us to be members of the family of the household of God, the family of God, we have to be united. We have to be on one accord, because a house divided against itself is definitely going to fall, right? And so as I was reading through the scriptures, the first thing that it said is that, and it made a reference to in verse 22 in the Ephesians 2:22, it made a reference to us being built together for an habitation and dwelling place. right, for inhabitation. So we have to be able to dwell together. And you cannot do that if you cannot have unity, if you cannot have the oneness that he talks about. And so we must commit ourselves to bringing about the unity of church, but our families, our community. And what does it look like in order for us to be able to bring people together? That means you have to forgive things that have been done. And so that brings us to reconciliation, because that was one of the words that is repeated numerous times in this text. And so what does it mean to reconcile? When I looked up the definition, it told me it meant to settle the matter. And when I taught this lesson on Sunday, one of the examples I used was, have you ever thought you forgave somebody until you saw that somebody and everything that they did to you, the $20 that they promised that they would pay back, that they never paid back, that they still owe you, comes flooding back to your mind?
Yes, Lord.
You've not truly reconciled. And so in order for us to be able to move together in unity with peace, because remember, the definition of peace, it had a dual meaning. It was to be united with, but it was to bring an end to hostility. And so in order to bring an end to that hostility, we have to reconcile all of the relationships that are in our lives that are causing us angst. Because what I found out living, you know, living will, you just keep living and it'll teach you a lesson, is that I'm over here holding a grudge. I'm mad at you. I can't take communion. I can't pray right. I can't get close to God because I have all this animosity in my heart for you, and you out here living your best life. Ain't got a care in the world or a worry. So forgiveness, my forgiveness is not for you. It's for me so that I can get closer to God. But I can't go to him with unforgiveness. And I'm preaching to myself right now because there's somebody right now in my life who I'm working on, Lord, how do I forgive the things that you keep doing when you don't want to try to get better? So as I'm teaching it to you, I'm teaching to myself, because what we really have to do is work on building godly relationships, the capacity to be able to reconcile and forgive. And so what does that look like, right? Because relationships have to be loving. They have to be truthful. They have to be selfless. And in some cases, they have to be submissive, right? We have to be able to relate to one another as the way that God relates to us. We can't continue to move around and hold on to the grudges that are preventing us from being able to break down the walls so that we can come together in love and unity. Because we know that if we could come together, what might not we be able to do, right? So Ephesians, the book, was literally written to teach Christians that we have been saved by grace and that we should live how God wants us to, so that we can stand up against the ways of Satan. Let me tell you, the quickest way to begin to allow the devil to get in your situations or your circumstances is to dwell on the harm that's been done to you, to constantly remind yourself. Our pastor posted something today on social media, and I wrote it down, and I'm going to read it because it's apropos. So I thank you, God, for giving this to me right now, because he said, these are the steps to trusting God more. And when I'm able to trust God more, I'm able to not worry about being embarrassed because I forgave you, but you proved me to be wrong because you did the same thing over again. I reconciled with God on how I had to navigate with you so that I wouldn't be hurt and I could move forward and move past whatever circumstance was, so I could get closer to God, so I could see my blessings come into fruition, right? And so it said trusting God more. It said, so what you need to do is you need to stop venting about to people about your problems and just pray. And I think that's so appropriate, because the word says, like, if we're going to be obedient, we not to link our own understanding. If something's going on, the first thing we need to do is to pray. We need to seek God in the situation and the circumstance. And the second thing it said is to write down the scriptures and to read them to reinforce our faith. If we reinforce our faith, because remember, in verse 8 it said, for by grace ye are saved through faith. And so we have to build up our faith. I talk about it all the time. You know, faith building blocks, every experience that we've had is a building block to help us to get closer to God. And so we need to write down scriptures and read them to reinforce our faith. And then the last thing, because it was 3 points that he shared, it was learn to worship regardless of how I feel in that moment. It even went on to say, listen to a song with lyrics that will heal your doubt and help your anxiety. And so when I think about the obedience piece in here, because we got those words, we got grace, right? We know because that's how we're saved. We're saved by grace. We have love because we have a God who loves us more than anything we could do, any wrong we could do. He loves us past our sins. But that word obedience, seeking God first in each and every situation, seeking him, seeking his face continually, that obedience, when we say, I will bless the Lord at all times, that's learning to worship no matter what the situation or the circumstance is. And so as you are trying to navigate reconciliation and breaking down walls to build your family back up, to build your community back up, to build your church back up, to rebuild relationships that are fractured and broken because of hurt, right? Because of mistrust, because of someone not respecting a boundary, right? Those are the things that we have to put into prayer. We have to put it in the prayer, and we have to speak well of these people, because what happens is we spend so much time talking about the bad, the things that they did in the past, we don't give them an opportunity to be able to be new. And in the word, it literally says that, and make sure I read it correctly because I want to make sure. Here we go. And ye he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The times past, the things that were behind us, we need to be able to forget those things, because that's how you begin to forgive people, how you begin to reconcile. And that's how you begin to have unity. And that's how you begin to be able to move in love and to be able to practice obedience without question. So I'm getting ready to put a bow on this, because as I was studying this and I was reading it again, and the revelation that God gave me was sit in gratitude for his grace, the grace that we are saved by. Let us walk in love. Let us live godly. Godly living is living in and through and for Jesus. That's it. Yes. Let us make sure that we are being obedient to the word of God. And when God tells you to do something, you don't need to check it with 5, 6, 7 other people. Do obey God. Do what God tells you to do. And if he told you to call someone, to apologize, to humble yourself, to make it right, because blessed are the peacemakers. And if we make peace in situations, then we're going to be blessed in that situation as well. And so remember that unity and peace, they have dual meanings. Unity, peace means unity. It means being united. But it means being united without hostility. And so if we can learn to remember that grace is why we are saved, to understand that we have to love each other from the beginning, the middle, and the end. And it don't matter what we did in the past. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you more. And I'm going to love you past whatever it is so that we can come together. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. And I'm going to practice being a peacemaker in each and every situation and circumstance that I encounter. I'm moving with peace. I'm moving with love. I'm moving in obedience. And I'm thankful for God's grace. Brother Brown, that's what God gave me.
Lord Jesus, what a word unto tonight. A much needed word for such a time as this. Listen, you really brought forth this message on tonight. And listen, to listen to you, the way you delivered this word, and I'm going back to your testimony that you shared with us at the beginning. For those that are still dialing in, we have people that are still dialing in right now. And that's why I love this platform. So if you missed anything tonight, all you got to do is go back to my website, and you can pull up today's platform and listen to this powerful testimony that Sister Chris Norwood shared with us on tonight. She talked about how she had she's a survivor of COVID, and then she had a spirit of fear. And that's what the enemy wanted her to hold on to, that spirit of fear, so she wouldn't be able to speak and share the good news of Jesus Christ with his people and to those that are not saved in Jesus' name yet. So she has moved past that spirit of fear, and because she had a fear of being able to talk to people and teach God's word. So he removed that fear from her, and look at what he's doing through her on tonight. And so that's what it's all about. Thank you, Sister Norwood, for sharing this word on tonight. The household of God. You broke it down, and it kind of ties in with the spiritual food for thought that I shared with the listeners on tonight. And you and I had not talked about this, so I had no way of knowing that it really boils down to really. And tonight's spiritual food for thought came to us in a form of a question. What are you doing to glorify God outside of the walls of the church building? Now, that's deep right there by itself. What are you doing personally? What are you doing to glorify God outside of the walls of the church building? Because we are the church, those that are saved in Jesus' name, whether you know it or not. If you're saved in Jesus' name, we are the church. So that's who Jesus Christ is coming back for. When he comes back, well, his church, we are the church. So thank you so much, Sister Norwood, for sharing this powerful, much-needed word on tonight. I know that God was glorified. The enemy is more horrified, but you did what God told you to do, and I just thank you for being obedient on tonight. I am getting ready to open up the phone lines for those of you that have dialed in. And if you dialed in late and did not catch all of this and the message and you did not hear her testimony, just go back to the website and pull it up, and you can listen from the beginning to the end. Right now, I am opening up the phone lines for those that have dialed in. I love to give my listeners the opportunity to speak to my guest. So if you have, if you was blessed by her testimony, or if you was encouraged by the word on tonight, or if you just want to give her words of encouragement, the phone lines are open now. But we do have a lot of people that dials in and they don't say anything. But we do thank God for you for dialing in and being blessed by God's word on tonight. The phone lines are open for anyone that have dialed in. The phone lines are open now.
Amen, Brother James. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Praise the Lord.
All right. This is Minister E. Jane. Good evening. I love you.
Love you, too.
Sister Chris Sanford, you did an amazing job tonight. I'm telling you, that word that went forth came straight from your heart. And I'm thanking God that you said something that really touched me tonight. Because whenever I talk to any of my family members and my church members, and they say, I love you, and I always say, I love you more. When you put that in context and you said, when you tell somebody, I love you more, that means that you love them more than the animosity, more than the gossip, more than the mess that might be between us. I love you more than all of that, that's not even important. And when you said that rung a bell. Because I think a lot of times people think that when you tell somebody, I love you more, they just saying something. But when I tell you I love you more, I love you more than both our men. And that is how God wants us to love each other. And you brought that out. And I praise God for your testimony and your teaching and what he has done in your life. And you know I love you, and you keep on doing it and keep on praying, and I'll keep praying for you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Minister E. Jane. You always are an encourager. I just love your spirit. I love how God is using you. You are a blessing to the kingdom. You are a blessing to the body of Christ. And we know that God is still being glorified through you. So thank you, Sister Minister E. Jane. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. The phone lines are still open. Anyone else?
Well, praise God. I thank God for the message on tonight. First of all, I want to back up. I thank God for you, Brother Brown, for you having this platform so people like Chrysantha and others can come and bring forth the word. Chrysantha, I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart, you are an inspiration to me. When you gave your testimony about your voice, it took me back to mine. But I said, well, if God can do it through her, he can do it through me. And I thank God for you stepping up to the plate, speaking his word, teaching his word, and doing what he has called you to do. You never know who's watching you, and I am always watching you. Thank you for being my Shira, and I love you for that. I love you both.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, praise the Lord. I am so excited about what God is doing through this worldwide platform. Pastor Norman King, I see that you're on the line from Greensboro, North Carolina. I know that you was encouraged by this word. I just want to give you an opportunity before we close out. Would you like to share with anything with us on tonight pertaining to tonight's message?
Yeah, Sister Norwood, she had a loaded message tonight. Very loaded message. Grace, love, obedience, unity / peace, level of love, grace. If he gave us what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. Building godly relationships. Live like God wants us to. Pray. Being reconciled, reinforced, seeking God first. Come on, somebody. Building yourself and your commitment and walk in love. Dwell together, one, unity, forgiveness. Come on. I'm just taking notes. I encourage you to continue. Stay humble. Stay real. Stay humble, especially in what we got going on today within the household of faith. I want to encourage you to stay humble. No matter how God bless you, stay humble, sister. Stay humble and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to lead you and guide you. God bless you.
Amen. Sister Norwood.
Brother Brown.
My first cousin. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say his name is Pastor Norman.
Yes, Pastor. My first cousin, Pastor Norman, came from Greensboro, North Carolina. Yes.
You blessed me, sir. I just want you to know the reminder to stay humble, to not want more than God is giving you right at that moment, to allow him to move you the way, to move me the way he needs to move me for elevation. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I've been wrestling with that. So I thank you because you blessed me. Thank you.
Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
That's confirmation. God always conforms. He always kind of confirms his word. And so he always gives us and also for if you are a true Christian, he's going to give you a spirit of discernment. Everybody don't have that. You got to be truly in the body of Christ and in God's word. You have to have a personal relationship with God in order to have a spirit of discernment. So thank God for you, Sister Norwood. Anyone else before we close out for tonight? Anyone else? I just want to give everyone an opportunity. Yes.
But I just want if there's not anyone else or if someone else is going to jump on, but I wanted to say to Minister Jane and one for and to Tira, thank you so much. Every word of encouragement is received. But to Minister Jane, when my voice was the worst, she said, no, you teach. And I can't thank her enough for that because her push was enough to be, okay, do what you need to do. So I just want to just make sure I say thank you to her publicly in front of this whole wide world platform because I was like, I can't believe she want me to teach. I can't barely talk. And she was like, you'll be all right. You teach.
God
told
me
that.
Amen. Thank God for being obedient. And the best for you is still yet to come as long as you continue to stay faithful. And like my cousin Pastor King said, as long as you continue to stay humble before God, the best is still yet for you to come to you. You haven't seen nothing yet. So we get ready to close out tonight. You know what? I'm going to pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for our sister, Chris Norwood, who delivered your word. She shared a powerful testimony that gave you glory, honor, and praise on tonight. We thank you for her faithfulness, her obedience to be able to share this message, a needed word for such a time as this. So we ask that you will continue to touch and strengthen and anoint her body, mind, and spirit. Continue to use her for your glory. We ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow in every door all over the land that's going to be open in Jesus' name, where your word is going to go forth with power, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word, that you will be glorified on tomorrow is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, until the next time, amen. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Good night.
Amen.